This morning I'm going to read to you from the Gospel of Mark. Jesus has been teaching and healing, and he's also sent the 12 out to do the same. And they have come back to report all that has happened in the towns where they have been serving. So listen for the word of God. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. And then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. And when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "Now this is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But Jesus answered, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "That would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "Well, how many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. "Go and see." And when they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. And taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, Jesus gave thanks and broke the loaves. And then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So what? 5,000 people are fed with five loaves and two fish? After some extensive study of these scriptures, the big question I have about this miracle story is the fact that it was first told by fishermen. Okay, that is a joke. You know, a fish story, you know, the fish get bigger and bigger and bigger. All right, okay. But really, say the word miracle, and many people raise their eyebrows. There must be some explanation, right? Some way to know how a thing was accomplished that meets with some rational explanation. Well, don't expect me here this morning to give a rational explanation for a miracle. This day, or any day, our God is a God of mystery. And in the words of Saint Teresa of Avila, all human concepts of God are like a jar we break. Only the infinite can contain perfect love. You see, there's always something new to learn about God. And just when we think we know it, the jar breaks open again and we learn something new. Now, in the Old Testament, there are lots of miracle stories that center around the great new need for food and for water, right? Okay, there's the Israelites that are wandering in the desert, and they come to Moses and complain that they need water. And Moses taps a rock, and when he taps that rock, water springs forth. God fed the Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years fed in the wilderness by this bread from heaven that came down. In the book of Kings that we read just last week, when Elijah went to the widow for food, her jar of grain, her jar of flour never ran out. See, these miracle stories are what we call creation miracles. It's when God's creative power comes in and takes something meager and turns it into something of an abundance. Every time God's grace provided these miracles of food, we get this sense of what God's real authority is over all of creation. And we get a sense of God's steadfast and everlasting love for His creation. So here we have these 5,000 people who are fed. And mind you, you only need to read two chapters ahead in Mark, and the story is told again. It's told twice in Mark. The second time it's told in chapter 8, 4,000 are fed. And in fact, this fishes and loaves experience is shared in every single gospel. Do you know that? It's one of the only stories, besides the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that is shared in every gospel. So it must be kind of important. Now, there are a couple of things going on here. First of all, Jesus had sent the disciples out, right? He had sent them out. He had said, you go, you do the teaching, you do the healing. I have sent you to serve in this place. And they had been. They'd been out teaching and healing in all the surrounding towns. And they were so excited to get back to Jesus. They were so excited to come back and say, this is what's happened. This is what we've been doing. And this is what we've taught. But at that very same time, Jesus had learned that John the Baptist was dead. Now, John the Baptist was his cousin. It was his family member. And it was a cruel and violent death. He was beheaded at the request of Herod's wife. This is an ugly betrayal. It's born out of hatred and desire for power. So Jesus is navigating between this elation from his disciples and this excitement and this depth of sorrow in his heart for his lost cousin John. Jesus' response was to instruct the disciples. He says to them, come away to a deserted place and rest for a while, right? You see, I think that's true for us in our human lives. And, you know, we heard it this morning, a new mother giving birth who's also has a new diagnosis at the same time. In our lives, our life experience almost always shares both of those dynamics. There are things that are going on in our life that are very encouraging and positive and blessed. And then there's those things that feel like are so discouraging and we've got this pain and this loss that we have to deal with. Well, the crowd follows Jesus. So many of them had hurried on foot that they reached the deserted place ahead of Jesus and disciples who were traveling in a boat. And it says in the scriptures that Jesus had compassion on them. Had compassion on the crowd because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he began to teach many things. In chapter 8, where this story is repeated, it says that Jesus said to his disciples, I have compassion for this crowd because they've been with me for 3 whole days and they've had nothing to eat during that time. If I send them away to their homes, they'll faint on the way. And some have come a very long distance. So listen up. Jesus is God because Jesus gives love as a response to anything and everything. Jesus has great need right now. He has a need to rest and to pray, to celebrate with his disciples, and to mourn the loss of his cousin. And yet, he gives compassion to that crowd of 5,000. 5,000 people. This is not just a few stragglers. This is a sold-out wolf trap. This is hundreds and thousands of people. He teaches and heals and feeds this crowd. Let's be realistic. Our Christian life is lived in a tension, this tension that we have between what we need to do to take care of ourselves so that we can keep going every day, and what we are called to do to care for others so that we can be witnesses of Christ's love and compassion. Well, God's need is always a compassionate response to others. Anytime you see compassion be at work, you are seeing God's power at work in our world. And pay very close attention to how one contributes when there is great need. The contrast is seen in the disciples, who have their own set of needs. They're human, and they want this time with Jesus. They've been waiting to share all their stories with them, and the disciples are anxious because night is now falling, and there are 5,000 people, and there's no food. 5,000 people who need to eat. The need is great, and the disciples are concerned, but they don't offer to serve in any way. They suggest to Jesus that he send these crowds on their way so they can go into the villages and find their own food. Well, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? The Israelites wandering in the wilderness looking for food. Moses, our need is great. Get us something to eat and to drink. Or the wedding at Cana that runs out of wine. The need is great. The prodigal son, his need is great. The hemorrhaging woman whose need is great. The wounded woman, man in the ditch, his need is great. Jairus, the synagogue ruler whose need was great as his daughter lay dying. Lazarus, his sisters, desperate in their grief, their need was great. These are not just stories of our history. The need has not passed. The need is great. And here's God's response to great need. The wedding that runs out of wine, the need is so great, and the water turns into wine. Not just a glass, not just 10 glasses, but 180 gallons of wine. At the end of the wedding, the very last are given the best. The prodigal son whose need was great. The father's love is so extravagant that this lost and wayward son receives a robe, a ring, and a reunion. The hemorrhaging woman whose need is great. She touches the hem of Jesus' robe and 18 years of bleeding cease. She's healed, restored immediately. The wounded man in the ditch, his need is great. The Samaritan offers him all that he has, cares for him, and gives him even more than what is needed. Jairus, the temple official whose need is great, his daughter lay dying, and Jesus heals the young daughter, raises her from the dead. Lazarus' sisters, whose need was great, and Lazarus walks out of that tomb, freed of all that bound him. God answers great need. So the need is great there in that deserted place with the 5,000. And the disciples tell Jesus, the need is great here, Jesus. Do something. And Jesus instructs the disciples, you give them something to eat. The need is great. Here is what Jesus teaches the disciples in times of great need. Jesus takes what is available, the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he blesses those loaves and fish to God, lifts the bread to God, and offers thanksgiving. Jesus consecrates the bread to God before anything else happens. Jesus gives thanks to God for these 2 loaves of bread, offers it to God. This is your bread, God. This is yours to use as you see it. And Jesus breaks the bread and gives it to the disciples. The need is great. Jesus blesses the bread, he breaks the bread, and he gives the bread to his disciples. Jesus gives it to the disciples. The need is great. Jesus breaks the bread and gives it to the disciples. Mark's gospel says that all ate, and that all were filled, and there were 12 baskets of broken pieces of leftovers. 12 baskets collected. Here's the thing. We know this story as the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000. All this text says is that Jesus gave thanks, and Jesus blessed and broke the bread, and the disciples do the rest. The disciples feed the 5,000 there by that water. You decide whether that is miracle or not. The disciples feed the 5,000. Well, the need is still great in our world. And I wonder more than anything is how many of us have been sitting on that grass. We've been amongst the 5,000, and we've been hearing the word of God, and we've been receiving God's love, and we've come to trust and believe, and we know that Christ is our King. Perhaps our great need is to give away the bread that's been given to us by Jesus Christ. The creative power of God lies in God's ability to love so extravagantly that when his disciples offer the bread, all are filled. In fact, there are leftovers, 12 baskets of leftovers. The need is great, and yet the power of God made something from practically nothing. Think for a minute about the experiences that you have had, maybe even experiences you've had here at Wesley Church. And through God's power, even with limited resources, grace-filled places of ministry have been created. I hope you take this into consideration as you make your financial commitments and your commitments to serve today. I'm going to invite you during this time to take a few moments in silence, and then I would like to invite you to come forward and place your commitment at the altar, and please take some time to pray around the altar as you do. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the broken bread that you have given to us. We know that you have blessed us in every way, and we give you thanks. And so now we lift up to you our lives. We lift up to you the gifts that we have been given to serve in spiritual ways, and we lift up the financial gifts that we have been given through your love and your grace. And as we offer them to you at the altar and we consecrate them to you, we ask that you bless them and use them to relieve great need in our world. It's by the power of your Holy Spirit that we pray. Amen.